In Psalm 119, let's read our verses tonight, and as we've been doing, let's read tonight verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. You can be seated tonight. And we've read this section, and as we've been dealing with each 8-verse section, it falls underneath the heading of each of these Hebrew letters of the Hebrew alphabet. We've been dealing with the symbolic meaning picture that is found in each of the letters, and then we make our way through the text. And so the way it's worked out thus far, I don't necessarily see it changing. We'll see how the Lord will work. But in each section, we've been dealing with the symbol in one service and then coming back and dealing with the scripture. That is, we look at the type and then we look into the truths of the Word of God. And I thought about it this way. We study the emblem and then we study the exposition. And so tonight we made our way here to this fifth section of Psalm 119. Again, last week we dealt with the heading here, the Hebrew letter. It's the two English letters. We would have it H-E, but it's pronounced hey. And when we consider the symbolic meaning of these letters as emblems of the Word of God, hey, we said last Wednesday night, is represented by a window. And so we're looking at the Word of God being likened, represented, an emblem to you and I and its function and relationship to our life as it is a window. And so the Word of God as a window is seen in the simple definition that Noah Webster's gave of a window, simply that of an opening in the wall. And I added myself that one could add a roof, opening in the wall or in a roof for the admission of light and air, for the admission of light and air. And so the Word of God gives admission of what? Both truth, that is light, and the Spirit of God being that of the air. And the Word of God ministers both to us. The truth and the Spirit of God both touch our life and find entrance into our life by way of the Word of God. Windows serve the primary purpose of giving us a view of something beyond the dimension where we currently reside or the room that we currently occupy. We think about a window tonight in that sense. We think about our lives are in this dimension of this realm of this world and the business of the day, but it's through the Word of God as a window we're able to see into spiritual dimensions. And not in the charismatic way of emotionalism and dreams and so-called visions, but just simply sitting down and looking into the Word of God, we're able to go outside of the dimension and the arena and the room in which we're in tonight. And we can, through God's Word, see the spiritual dimensions that reveal to you and I God's glory, God's grace, and God's goodness. And tonight, if you want to see God, all you got to do is look through the window of the Word of God. You'll have everything that He intends for you to know and see and admire in Him. You'll find it in the Word of God. Who needs dreams and visions and things that the charismatics talk about and put such a premium on when we have such wonderful views and things to see of our God through the Word of God? And what a blessing the Word of God is to you and I as a window tonight. I won't go through all of it, but last week we gave you the five practical facts about the role that windows play. And of all places, it came off the website of Renewal by Anderson, the great salespeople and commercials that we hear about windows and all things pertaining to doors and windows and home improvement things. But just simply throw it out again tonight without any explanation. They said that they play a role in that they contribute, windows contribute to your energy savings. And we preached on that a little bit last week, that you need the Word of God to be a window. It'll save spiritual energy in your life. And without having a good spiritual window, it's going to cost you greatly. They said that it boosts your home's aesthetic appeal and market value. And so the spiritual value of our life will be oftentimes elevated based upon our relationship with the spiritual window of the Word of God, with our life being built with that in it. It provides, they said, weather protection. And so the Word of God provides that spiritual protection to the life of the child of God. It adds functionality to your home. That's what Renewal by Anderson said. And in that it allows ventilation and lighting into your home. And so that natural light, that sovereign light, that God-given light beyond the artificial light, that we cannot always live by. We got to have God-given light, even in the physical realm in which we live. We need that God-given light. And without windows, you'd only have artificial light. And spiritually, if you try to make it by artificial light, oh boy, you're going to be depressed and agitated and wore out, and you're not going to make it. And then the ventilation aspect that windows provide is that air can only flow through a window that has been open. And if that's the functionality of a window in your home, that it allows ventilation, there'll be no ventilation until you go over and unlock the window and raise it up. We would say open the window. And so many tonight don't know the function of the Word of God in their life because the window has been closed a long time. And so it's time to open the window, amen, and let the Spirit of God, amen, blow upon your life one more time as a result of your relationship to the Word of God. They said, number five, it ensures indoor comfort. And no matter whatever the outside conditions, a window will keep you comfortable. And what a picture of the Word of God just right there off the Renewal by Anderson. I know nothing about them. Did anybody ask them for a church endorsement? Amen. We'll put a banner up on our church website since I'm using them and promoting them. All right. The word window, we said, is used 16 times in as many verses. And windows, plural, is used another 30 times. And so this gives us many scriptural references to make application of this emblem of the Word of God. And I dove in on many of these on last week as part of our study. And I don't need to do that tonight, other than we'll just reference to get our minds focused in on where we're at. At Genesis 6:16, we found that Noah had an elevated window that kept him looking up to God through the storm. And so if the Word of God is an emblem of a window, the picture of a window, and the first mention of what a window is, God said to Noah, put a window above in the ark. And so tonight we think about the Word of God. What is it? It is an upward elevated window. And if you look to the Word of God, it'll keep you looking up to God through the storms of life. We think about Genesis 26 and verse number 8. Abimelech looked through the window and saw the love that Isaac had for Rebekah. And what a type of Christ and the church. And if you look to the Word of God, You know what you see through the window of the Word of God? You'll see the love that Christ has for His church. And that's seen all the way through the window. Joshua 2:18, Rahab had a scarlet cord of promise attached to the window. And what do we have tonight? We have the promise of the blood of Jesus Christ. And my friend, is found throughout the window of the Word of God. It reminds us that judgment is coming and that all the wicked are going to fall under the wrath of God. We have a connection, a promise in the Word of God to the blood of Jesus Christ. In Judges 5:28, the reality of the defeat of Sisera was affirmed looking through the window. And I preached on that a little bit last week, that we know that the devil has been defeated and that we're on the winning side when we look through the window of the Word of God. Amen. There's a testimony you'll find looking through the window. Amen. That victory is ours. And 2 Kings 9:32, Jehu found unity with two or three eunuchs, the Bible said, through the window to overcome that great divisive source, Jezebel. It was at the window that Jehu looked in and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And there were two or three eunuchs on the inside that rose to the occasion. They were unified at the window. And then Jezebel was thrown out the window and fallen to her death. And we studied and we pondered the thought that the window of the Word of God is what unifies us against every source of division. And we can have unity with the Lord, unity with one another, as a result of the Word of God. And on we went, looking through the Word of God. Proverbs 7:6, Solomon was able to discern the way of the simple ones and the work of the strange woman by simply looking through the window. If you need discernment tonight about this world and the way it's going, amen, look through the window of the Word of God. Ecclesiastes 12:1-3, Solomon challenges the youth to remember and look to their Creator, lest the time comes when he referenced the window is darkened. That you need to look to the Word of God, the window of the Word of God, while there's a light shining through it, lest there come a day in your life and God begins to send darkness. Song of Solomon 2 and in verse number 9. Beloved revealed himself to his bride through a window of lattice, and she was able to view him through that window. And all had rejoiced her heart and brought anticipation and excitement to her soul as she viewed him through the window of lattice. Acts 20 and verse number 9. Eutychus occupied a window seat, but due to drifting to sleep and becoming casual in the window, what happened? There was a tragic fall. He fell and he died. And we think about our relationship to the Word of God as a window. Don't get casual with it. Don't drift off to sleep. Understand the privilege you have as a child of God, that you have a window seat. Amen. Now, I don't fly often, but when I fly, Brother Tim, I try to always make sure that I find a window seat. Unless I'm flying with Brother Jack, if he wants the window, he can have it. Amen. But we gotta try to find a window seat. Those are prized and wonderful seats. To have a window seat, because if you get in the middle seat, you're stuck. Amen. I won't give you some of the stories I've had, but I've been the bologna in the middle of a big old sandwich every now and then in that middle seat. The window seat's where you want to be. And so that's a privilege, but don't take it casual. Paul spake in the church that helped him in 2 Corinthians 11:33. In escaping the enemy by being let down through the window. And so the window, using it as a picture of the Word of God, is what sustained the man of God and the church's relationship And victory was won over the enemy. And what a blessing, what a blessing when the church and the man of God have a unified relationship around the Word of God. That'll keep a preacher sane. That'll keep the man of God from going out of his mind when he sees the congregation, amen, rallying to the window of the Word of God. And so we ended last week on the thought that one of the most familiar references to windows in the King James Bible is the phrase, the windows of heaven. It's used one time, also known as windows from on high. And this phrase, windows of heaven or windows in heaven, is used five times throughout the scripture. You'll find that from these windows of heaven, that both judgment and blessing come from the same windows. We think about tonight in Isaiah 24:18, the phrase windows from on high, and God is sending judgment through those windows of heaven. In Malachi 3:10, maybe one of the most familiar references outside of the window in the ark that God told Noah to build, is that God said, if you'll bring me all the tithes into the storehouse, what did he promise? He said, I will open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you're not able to receive it. And so there's a blessing, and even more than a blessing, an abundant blessing, and cannot be contained to your own individual life. And so there's windows in heaven where both judgment and blessing come from. I think tonight, using that as a picture of the Word of God as it is in Psalm 119, likened to that of a window, and the Word of God as the window of heaven, what does it bring? What does it afford us? What comes through the window of the Word of God? Both judgment and blessing. The same window, amen, the same window, God can send judgment upon our life, or God can send blessing upon our life. I don't want the judgment, I want the blessing. So we've got to obey, and we've got to look to the Word of God and have the right relationship to it, so that our life can be blessed. When you read, as we did tonight, Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40, I believe that is what the psalmist has in mind. He understands the Word of God. Again, it's like a window. And so this section particularly is unique in that every verse is a prayer. Every verse has attached to it the desire of the psalmist's heart to God himself concerning his relationship to the Word of God. And what does he know? He knows that there is either judgment or blessing, and it's going to come to his life based upon the window of the Word of God and how he is relating to the Word of God. And so our thought for this section is just simply that, the window of heaven. The Word of God, the window of heaven. I think maybe we could say tonight we're preaching on looking through the window of heaven. If judgment or blessing can come upon us, I want to find out how I need to be looking to and relating to that window so that my life can have the blessing of God upon it. And so if I can tonight, real quickly as I can, I want to show you three different kinds of ways the psalmist is looking through the window of heaven. In verses 33 through 35 tonight, I want to call this tonight a loyal look through the window of heaven. A loyal look. I think if we need to have any kind of look to the Word of God tonight, that we ought to desire, it ought to be our heart's desire, Brother Mark, to have a loyal look to the Word of God. The psalmist here expresses his commitment to the Word of God and his steadfast desire to be right with it. Things like, I shall keep it unto the end, verse 33. He said, I shall keep thy law, verse 34. He said, I shall observe it with my whole heart. He's talking about, can you see that? It's pretty evident. And he's talking about his loyalty to the Word of God. I want to have a loyal look to the Word of God. We're living in a day of disloyalty. We're living in the last days, and we quote that list often where Paul said, this know also, and in the last days, perilous times shall come. And we list a lot of things in there, and certain things maybe we point out when we reference that, but I would remind you in that list of things that Brother Jack, one thing he said would be noted in the last days is that there would be traitors. You know what a traitor is? It's somebody who is living in a compromised position. That they're on the wrong side. And I want to say tonight there's many that's on the wrong side of the window of the Word of God. But David here, the psalmist here, is expressing a loyal look through the window of heaven. I noted this. I'll throw this out quickly, and then I want to give you some other things under this. But notice this loyalty to God's word involves three things. In verse 33 and verse 34, he uses twice the word keep. He said, and I shall keep it. Again, he said in verse 34, yea, I shall keep thy law. This word keep, quickly, it means to guard, protect, or maintain. And so loyalty involves me keeping the word of God. I'm telling you tonight, there are many that have unkept the word of God in their life. They have not guarded it. They have not protected it. And they have not maintained it in regard to their life. To be loyal to the Word of God is more than having it under your arm when you come to the house of God. It is, my friend, a life that is in keeping with the Word of God. And so in these days that we live, we need loyalty. A loyal look involves keeping the Word of God. And then verse 34, he speaks about, well, let me back up. He said, I shall keep it unto the end. In other words, I'm not going to waver in this loyalty, which involves keeping it. I am guarding it, protecting it, and maintaining it, not just when it's convenient, not just when it is easy to do, not just when I'm in a crowd of other people that are in lockstep and have a loyal look to it themselves, but if my dearest friends and my dearest family were to turn from the window, seeing the Word of God as it is, David said, I shall keep it unto the end, the end of my life, the end of my storm, the end of whatever the situation is. I'll not be led away from it. I'm going to keep it unto the end. Oh, how we need those in this day to have a loyal look through the Word of God and will say, I'll keep it whether anybody else does or not. I'll keep it no matter what it means from here to the end. I am going to stay loyal to the Word of God. Amen. Keeping it is involved and then observing it. In verse 34, he says here, yea, I shall observe it. A word observe, it means to watch, preserve, or to care for. And so the idea here that the psalmist is giving in this loyal look that he's making through the window of heaven, a window of the Word of God, is that I'm going to keep my eye on it. I'm going to preserve it. I'm not going to let it be thrown to the wayside. I'm not going to let it fall upon my life, fall upon my ears, and fall upon my thoughts, and just take that as a light thing. I'm going to care for it. I'm going to nurture it. I'm going to give it all that it needs and let God pour into my life all that it needs so that it can bring forth fruit. And I'm going to be loyal to the Word of God by observing it. Now notice what he said, this matter of observing it is not going to be done half-heartedly.
He said, I will observe it with my whole heart. It's amazing in the hour that we're living in. And I'll just throw myself in there, and then you, if you dare, can throw yourself in there. Let's be honest, most of us, more than we should, are half-hearted about the things of God. Amen. We're not as wholehearted as we would like to think ourselves to be, and yet the only way we can really have loyalty to the Word of God is it demands us being wholehearted about the observation of the Word of God. No room, listen, no compromise means that there can be no half-heartedness. We've got to give our all. We've got to give our life. We've got to put everything we are and everything we have into observing the Word of God if we're to have a loyal look. And then it not only involves keeping it and observing it, but this loyalty to God's Word, it involves delighting in it. He said in verse number 35, for therein do I delight. And I believe this really, Brother Jerry, drives us to the place where loyalty really is determined, and that is, if you love God's Word, you'll stay loyal to it. Amen. You'll delight in it. If it's your delight, amen, there'll be a devotion toward it. Why is there so much compromise? Why is there so much of a flippant attitude toward the Word of God and the laws of the Lord and the commandments that He's given us? It's because really there's a part in our heart and life that does not delight in the Word of God as we ought to. Delight means to favor or have pleasure in. It's amazing the ways that, and I know you're here on a Wednesday night, I ain't trying to beat up on us, but we all need it, even myself. It's amazing how we pick and choose what we're going to find delight in when it comes to the Word of God. Amen. David said, I delight. It is my delight. All those, and by the way, and we've already gone through all the different semantics of how the Scripture is referenced in Psalm 119 all the different ways. But one of the ways is, amen, that is used in verse 35 is commandments. Amen, it's the commandments that his heart has delight in. Amen, those things that God has told me to do and not do. I delight in the fact that God is the one that has set the rules. I'm not making the rules. I'm not setting the commandments for my life. God is the one that has made the commandments. And David said, Lord, if you would point me in the right direction. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself. David just said, amen, I'll be loyal to it because, Lord, really, I do delight in the Word of God. And so if we love it, guess what? We're going to be loyal to it. Amen. The reason, I ain't got time to preach on all this, but can we all agree compromise is seen on every hand in our day in the churchy world? It's amazing, man, that things that even some of the more compromised veins of religion and churches today that we look at, that years ago, you could go back to those churches and they would look at some of the strong churches that we would call, amen, giants and pillars today, and some of those that have been more compromised maybe than others years ago would look at some of us and go, what are y'all doing? Amen. And the fact is, we've got to get back to keeping it and observing it and delighting in it, a loyal look through the window of heaven. I noted three specific matters that the psalmist David expresses loyalty in to the Word of God. Can I give this to you? You say, preacher, a loyal look. What? How can I be loyal? What areas of my life should I be loyal in when it comes to the Word of God? And let me break it down in each verse to you and we move on. Hey, man, I see loyalty to the discipleship of the Word. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Notice what he said. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Brother Mike, he has himself as the student with the Lord as the teacher, the instructor, the master. And you know what the textbook is? The textbook is the Word of God. Amen. And he is saying, amen, Lord, I'm willing to be taught. I'm desiring to be taught. And if you would just teach me, then I would keep those things that you have instructed me in as my master. I won't let it go. If I've got it from you through the textbook of the Word of God, I won't let those things go from my life. And boy, I'm telling you how we need that in this hour. A loyalty to the things that God has told us through His Word. Here's what I believe with all my heart. Amen. Now, if you're told of a man, you'll compromise those things in time to come. Amen. If you just believe something because the preacher said you ought to believe it, it won't be long. Well, maybe it will be a little while. The day will come, you'll let those things go. But if you let God show you something from His Word, listen, there is a loyalty that begins to be attached to that. And I'm not talking about being an ogre. I'm not talking about becoming a villain and an enemy and to be hard to get along with everybody. I've reached a point in my life people believe what they want to believe and say they stand wherever they say they want to stand. I know what God has taught me through His Word. And listen, that demands that I be loyal to those things God has taught me. There have been things I've grown up in church. I've grown up, let me back up, I've grown up around independent, fundamental Baptist churches. And I thank God for that. And that's what I am tonight. And I'm not ashamed of that. I understand, listen, there's a lot that claim that title. We would be ashamed of them, but I'm not ashamed of what the core values of being an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist represents. But I've heard a lot of men preach things that didn't come from the Word of God. And that's their business. They stand before God for that. And so growing up, there were things that I would hear. And then as I got older, I found out, you know what? They weren't exactly right about this or that. And God would teach you something. Amen. When God teaches it to you, you have an obligation to stay loyal to what God has taught through His Word. Amen. Discipleship, be loyal. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Amen. Show me, teach me, and I'll be loyal to that instruction. Loyalty to the discernment of the Word. He said in verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. And so this idea of give me understanding, the idea simply of that is there is a distinguishing there. You're brought into a spiritual discernment that comes only from the Word of God. And so there are times, listen, there are direct things that had come to our life through discipleship. And they're black and white, and they're thus saith the Lord statements that God instructs us in through His Word. And then let me say this tonight. The Word of God does not address everything that we're going through in this hour and time. Amen. The Word of God was written and inspired to men to be written many, many years ago. In cultures that know nothing about the culture we're in tonight. And yet David said, give me understanding. And so here's the line, many one of you, and I'm not mocking this tonight. As best we can, we ought to live our life by chapter and verse. Is that right? I believe that's right. Amen. We ought to live our life by chapter and verse. But here's what I'm finding. There are principles in the Word of God that don't address specific things going on in our day. that you need the discernment of the Word of God to be able to distinguish, is this acceptable or not acceptable for my life? Amen. There are things tonight, I'll be honest, that for me, I'm talking about for me, and by the way, it's personal. David said, give me understanding. I don't know what you're going to give everybody else on this issue. Lord, I don't know how you're gonna work this in their life, but Lord, I'm the one right now that needs some understanding on this. Amen. So understand this tonight. Amen. David said, Lord, if you would distinguish through the Word of God to me personally on these things that are maybe not clear, these things that maybe are not black and white, and these issues where there are people taking this side and this position and it seems like they're all bantering about what is right and wrong. Lord, I'm coming to you, and through your word, apply the principles and give me understanding and discernment about what is proper for me. Amen. And you say, I don't believe all that. I believe it ought to be this way. Bless God. Well, that's all fine, but you read the New Testament, and Paul is clear that there are certain believers that have liberty to do things that God gave them liberty to do. And at the same time, on the same situations, there's other believers that don't have liberty to do it, and God has not given them liberty to do it. What do you call that? That's that personal discernment. Amen. I know that ain't popular, but it's still right. You ain't the standard for Christianity. Amen. Amen. And I'm not. David said, Lord, if you show it to me, if you give it to me, if you give me the discernment that for my life I can do or I can't do, I can approve of or not approve of. And Lord, if I know it's you that has given me that discernment, and Lord, I will remain loyal to that discernment that you give to my life. Amen. There are some things that some children of God can do tonight. I don't have chapter and verse on. But I ain't done it, and I ain't going to start doing it tonight, because of the understanding God has given to my life. Now they can go and they can do and they can function in however they want to. Amen. There are certain things that I believe would be a sin for me to approve of, to partake in, and places that I can't go tonight. I ain't got chapter and verse. But I got a God in heaven that gave me understanding for me personally. Amen. And it takes a mature Christian to understand not everybody has the same understanding you do. And that's okay. Why are y'all so quiet? Amen. I'm trying to teach you. Are you loyal to just, everybody's worried about what everybody else is doing, what everybody else ain't doing. Oh, to God, we could have a revival of a spiritual maturity that we quit worrying about everybody else and just say, I'll be loyal to what God has given me understanding about. Amen. You ain't going to stand there with nobody when they're called into judgment. Amen. The only person in here that's going to do that is a man preaching to you. Amen. I got to go to judgment with y'all. I'm scared to death about it. Amen. I'm scared to death about that. Amen. And I, outside of being a pastor and just being a child of God, I'm glad I ain't got to give an account for nobody else. Amen. David said, I'll be loyal. I didn't mean to bog down here. I just feel like, amen, I feel like I hit a stump. I've just got to back up and, amen, just keep on bouncing on it. Amen. Just walk in and be loyal to what God has given you to do. Amen. Your Christian life would be a lot more joyful if you quit worrying about what everybody else is doing and ain't doing. Amen. Amen. Loyalty to the discipleship of the Word of God. That's good preaching, Pastor. Loyalty to the discernment of the Word of God. Talking about a loyal look to the word, to the window of heaven, the word of God, loyalty to the direction of the word. Real quick tonight, I got to hurry. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. David, now listen, he's talking about a loyal look to the window of heaven, loyalty to the direction of the word of God. Make me to go in the path gives the idea. Listen to this. If you look it up, it literally paints a picture of the stringing of a bow by treading on it and bending. Now, we have, I'm trying to be an archer and do a lot of archery hunting. And now we use these compound bows and cams. And I mean, they're high tech, man. Shoot, my particular bow shoots almost 350 feet per second. You say, is that fast? That's blazing fast. But in these days, they didn't have cams and these kind of bows we use today. Amen. They would bend the wood, and then they would have to bend it down and step on it and get it all the way down and loop that that up on the knock on the top, and they'd let it go, and that wood would hold its shape because it had been bent. It had been bent in a certain direction, into a certain shape, and through tension and treading it, and that string holding it in shape, my friend, it would be made useful on the battlefield or in the different hunting situation. And so that's what David is saying when he says, make me to go in the path, bend my life, tread me, and set a direction that you would have for me to go. And I tell you tonight, the word of God, amen, is set in a direction through that straight gate and that narrow way. Amen. This book don't let you just do everything. Amen. Don't mistake what I just preached on the last point tonight. That's a narrow book. Amen. That is a narrow way. You can't run off to every honky-tonk and dance floor and pool hall and that. Amen. You can't give yourself to everything out there on the direction of the Word of God. Amen. It is a very, very narrow path. We live in a day of the church, man. Everybody can do anything they want to do, and a broad way of living under the banner of liberty. I believe in liberty. I'm going to tell you something. This book sets a very narrow direction for your life. It tells you what you can do and can't do. It tells you how you can talk and how you can't talk. It even tells you how you can dress and how you can't dress. I know that ain't popular. Amen. This book is about a heavenward direction, an upward direction, a spiritual direction. David, listen, David is asking the Lord to set the direction for his life through the Word of God. Amen. You said, preacher, I'm trying to figure out the direction for my life. I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Here's what I know tonight. If you look through the window of the Word of God, you'll find the direction you need to go. You don't have to live your life, amen, wetting your finger and putting it in the wind. You ain't got to roll dice and flip coins and go off your emotions. Amen, the Word of God's where you'll find the answer for the direction of your life. Amen, there are decisions as a husband, as a father, as a Christian, as a pastor, as a businessman functioning in the society that we're in, that listen, I've got to know what direction to go in. You say, preacher, how do you figure all that out? By looking in the window of the Word of God. Amen. It's amazing when you got a decision to make. You can sit down, read this book, and something will jump off the page, and God will say, that's for you right now today for this choice that you've got to make. Amen. You don't get that watching Dr. Phil and reading how-to for dummy books all the days of your life. You get that looking through the window of the Word of God. Amen. A loyal look. How we doing? Amen. I ain't checked the time. Lord, we got to quit. Notice quickly a leaning look through the window of heaven. Y'all like how I did that? We got to quit. And then just right into point number two. A leaning look, not only a loyal look, but a leaning look. Let me give this to you quickly. A psalmist pleads for the divine influence of grace to cause his heart to what? Incline to the Word of God. Here's what he said. Incline my heart unto thy testimony. This is not a prayer for God to violate his will. It is a request that the divine influence of grace would work in his heart, and that David would, through his will, through his volition, respond to that working of that influence, and that his heart would be inclined to the Word of God. Incline, listen, incline as opposed to recline. It shows the psalmist leaning to look into God's window of truth. Incline means you're prone to be drawn in. He's leaning in. He's leaning forward. He's not reclining. He's not going backwards. He's not laying back. And he's leaning up. He's leaning forward. Why? Because only a leaning look through the window of heaven is, my friend, going to help us maintain the life we need to live. There are things you'll get leaning into the Word of God that you will only get leaning into the Word of God. Amen. I'm watching many in this hour recline from it when they ought to be inclining to it. And it'll take God helping you lean into it. Amen. Incline my heart. Lord, do a work where my heart is leaning into the Word of God. I thought about this afternoon as I was thinking about this. What does this leaning look do? What will it accomplish in our life? Can I give you three things? I've got a lot to give, and I'm sorry. Amen. I've got so bogged down tonight. I'm doing the best I can. The third point, I got no subpoints. I'll be able to give it to you real quick. But hear me out for just a moment tonight. This leaning look, number one, will shield the child of God. I've got to give you this, Brother Mike. Man, I'm telling you, God bless me even this afternoon as I was looking at all this again and getting ready for tonight. Here's what I thought about in studying this section, verses 33 through 35 we've just covered. It involved the psalmist, watch it now, the psalmist keeping the word. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to observe it. I'm going to delight in it. And it's all about the psalmist keeping the word of God. But in this section, verses 36 through 39, particularly verse 36, verse 37, and verse 39, what we see here is that the Word of God is now keeping him. He said, I'll keep it. I'll have a loyal look to the Word of God. Now he's in a section, he's looking, and he's leaning in, and he finds out, yeah, I may be keeping the Word of God, but the Word of God is what is keeping me. Amen. Don't get too high and mighty about your own loyalty and spirituality and the standards that you're so loyal to tonight. The fact of the matter is, it is the Word of God that is shielding and keeping you more than you are keeping it. Incline, he said. He said, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. He said, verse 37, turn away mine eyes. Again, he uses the phrase turn away in verse 39. And so what do we find? We find, hey man, there's a sense where the psalmist is keeping the word. And on the other side, the word of God is keeping the psalmist. And can I just say it this way, Brother Larry? If you're keeping the word and the word's keeping you, guess what? You're being kept. Amen. Amen. Sissy said it tonight. Amen. She feels sorry for those that think they're keeping themselves. I'm not keeping myself. I'm keeping the word. And in doing so, the word is keeping me. From what? What does it shield me from? Well, verse 36, covetousness.
Oh, Lord, y'all know I could preach a 6-part series on covetousness and show all of us how there's a little bit of that in every one of us. So, not me. I'm saved and I bet I could make you feel like a rot gut dog if we looked at what the Word of God says about covetousness. Amen. What is covetousness? Listen. It is a strong or inordinate desire of obtaining and possessing what pertains to someone else. Amen. In Exodus chapter number 20 and verse number 17, one of what we call the Ten Commandments, God is very specific where he said, let me just read it, make sure I get it right. Exodus chapter number 20 and in verse number 17, I'm almost done. Amen. When I'm done. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. You know what the Word of God does? The Word of God, oh boy, the Word of God, it shields the child of God from that sin of covetousness, where we began to have a strong and inordinate desire to obtain and possess what belongs to our neighbor. Let me say tonight, you can covet what belongs to your neighbor. You can covet what belongs to the Lord. You can covet, my friend, things that belong to a multitude of different people and relationships. The fact of the matter is, the Word of God, if we look through the window of the Word of God, it doesn't produce covetousness. If you look out your window to your neighbor's house, you may start coveting your neighbor's dwelling. Amen. Ask David what happens. Amen. Start looking directions you shouldn't look. Amen. Over to your neighbor's side. David started coveting his neighbor's wife. Amen. Oh, not me. Be careful what window you look out. When you look through, oh boy, this is coming to me, Brother Randy. When you look through the window of the Word of God, it will not produce covetousness. It'll shield you from that by producing contentment in your heart. Amen. Amen. A lot we could preach there. Boy, we need to be shielded from that. Amen. Nothing wrong with having a desire to obtain and be successful and have your needs and some desires along the way met in this life we're living. But child of God, be cautious tonight. Amen. You better lean in. Have that leaning look through the window of heaven, the Word of God. It'll shield you from covetousness. Verse 37, it'll shield you from vanity. Oh man, I need another Wednesday night to preach this. From vanity. It's what he said, turn away mine eyes. Ain't this amazing? Incline mine heart. Incline means you're leaning in to look at something. And he said, not to covetous. Then he said, turn away mine eyes. It's a matter of looking in the window. It ain't no coincidence he's saying all this way. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Vanity is emptiness. It means emptiness, the want of substance to satisfy desire. Empty pleasure and unsubstantial enjoyment. It was immediately, Brother Mike, reminded of the book of Ecclesiastes. If you know anything about Ecclesiastes, over and over you read of the word vanity. In fact, chapter 1 and verse 2, he begins, and in chapter 12, verse 8, in the conclusion, he's wrapping that book of Ecclesiastes up. Both statements are made word for word. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. The man who had given himself to the pleasures of women, gave himself to the desires of wealth,
A man that gave himself to all the effects of wine, and a man that is seeking the world over, trying to satisfy his life, only in the end to say, everything that is out there in the world is vanity. It's all vanity. He wasted those years of his life only to come to the conclusion that the only thing that really satisfies, the only thing that would give the human heart a lasting pleasure, is a relationship with God, our Creator. David said, Lord, keep me from looking through the windows of the world. Amen. You look through the windows of the barroom scene, it looks like they're all having a wonderful time. But Brother Larry, truth be told, when that crowd goes back home and goes to bed and wakes up the next morning, they're as empty as they've ever been. Amen. You look through that window of the television. I'm not preaching against it. I got a big one. Amen. And I got a big one that sits in my wall facing the road, and we ain't got a curtain at all. Amen. So the whole world rides by and sees what we're watching. That'll keep you with the right thing on the television. Somebody say amen. We ain't got no shades to draw, praise God. Are y'all listening? But you look through that window, the television in the world tonight is showing you all sorts of pleasures and all sorts of ways of living life. David said, Lord, please guard my eyes from looking through the wrong windows that would lead me to think I could live a life being satisfied with a life that has left God out of it. That's good preaching, ain't it? Shield the child of God, covetous vanity from reproach, verse 39. Reproach, he said, turn away my reproach, which I fear. I learned this evening, I learned tonight looking at this verse, that reproach is simply disgrace or scorn. It's what others see when we have sinned against God. And I want to say tonight, if you'll keep looking through the window of the Word of God, it'll shield you from any disgrace. It'll shield you from being scorned by the enemy. Tonight, your life will be guarded as you live a life that is in tune with what God wants you to have. It'll shield the child of God with a leaning look. It'll shield the child of God. It'll establish the child of God. Verse 38, simply meaning, he said, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. That word establish means to fix, to settle in or state, in a state for permanence, to make firm. It is used to describe one's rising and standing. You know what the Word of God does? If you'll make a leaning look, amen, if you'll just keep leaning in, you know what happens? You know what happens if you keep leaning in, especially if you're seated? The longer you lean, before too much longer, you start rising upward, and before you know it, you're standing. Right. Amen. David said, Lord, I'm going to keep leaning in to look through the Word of God, and I believe that in doing so, you'll let me stand as I need to stand. It'll sustain the child of God. Verse 37, quicken thou me in thy way. The word quicken is used again in verse 40. And it just means to live or revive or to keep alive. You know what a leaning look to the wind of heaven does? It keeps you alive. Amen. What we could preach there. A longing look, I'm done. A longing look, verse 40. Not only a loyal look and a leaning look, but a longing look. Behold, there's another vision word. Behold, that's what a wind is. A wind is for looking through. You don't go to a wind and go. No, you behold, you take in what's on, amen, what's in the window. David said, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Amen.
The psalmist speaks of the desire of his life and thoughts for God's word and way of living. Lord, I'm looking to your word with a longing look, a heavy desire. Amen. David experiences, what's this? Spiritual daydreaming when he looks out the window of the word of God. How many of y'all remember when you was in school? You'd get bored with what was going on in class. You'd start looking out the window. And by looking out the window, you'd start daydreaming. Before you knew it, physically, you was in a boring classroom with a sorry, rotten teacher making your life hard. But you was transported through that window in a daydream to a creek. And you was splashing in the water, or to a deer stand, and the buck was getting ready to come out, and you was drawing back on him, or whatever. Daydreaming. You know what daydreaming is? Here's what Wikipedia said. Daydreaming is a stream of consciousness that detaches from current external tasks when one's attention becomes focused on a more personal and internal direction. Amen. And I tell you tonight, we need some folk that start daydreaming, get conscious in a more personal and internal direction of our spiritual lives. Amen. This world acts like they got such an exciting life. It ain't as exciting as they make it look. Maybe a moment here and there along the way. But Brother Tim, here's what I found. When I go looking through the window of the Word of God, I'll start spiritually daydreaming about a spiritual life. Amen. About something that's more personal to me than anything this world could teach me or instruct me or show me in. Amen. Where's your longing tonight? Do you have a longing look? Do you peer into the Word of God so that you can leave the dimension that you're in and get in a spiritual dimension that lets you see some of the desires you have in your heart being come to pass and fulfilled in your very life? I need more time to preach all that. Lord, have mercy. This psalm's going to kill me. It's going to kill me. Ain't you thankful for it? Amen. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you for these that have come out tonight. Lord, we love them. And Lord, we pray that you'd work in their life this evening as only you can. Lord, I pray all of us, Lord, would have that loyal look, leaning look, that longing look. Lord, that the word of God could minister to our heart. Lord, so many ways this world's trying to gain our attention. Show us this and that. Lord, I pray that our spiritual lives, Lord, would just keep coming back to the window of the Word of God. Lord, all you do for us, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You can get out of here. We're going to be back here around here on Saturday, 5 o'clock. Be here